It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. You're with us here on the Ideas Network. Coming up, the DNR is putting together a plan to manage trout on Wisconsin's inland waters. We'll talk about the issues facing the fish and what it all means for fishing fans around the state. First, when Americans are polled about whether they approve of the job Congress is doing or whether they trust their government, most people these days say they don't. A nonprofit group formed last year in La Crosse is trying to restore some of that trust by focusing on ethics and ethical behavior, in our state and national government. Leader Ethics Wisconsin is informing members in local chapters about their elected officials and their ethical standards, and they're hoping to inspire the next generation of leaders to be honest and accountable. Lee Rosh is the executive director of Leader Ethics Wisconsin. He joins us from our La Crosse studios. Lee, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you for having me, indeed.
Well, you started this group last year. What was the impetus? What was the motivation for trying to create this group focused on ethical leadership?
Well, it actually started when I retired from my position as president at Western Technical College. I started having conversations with friends, colleagues, elected leaders, community leaders, about things that were concerning all of us, about the integrity of the American democracy and some things that we're feeling that are happening, significantly happening. And I had over 50 of those conversations, and it led to the formation of this organization, Leader Ethics Wisconsin, a nonpartisan, nonprofit organization that's committed to promote ethical leadership among elected officials.
You lay out four main standards of ethical leadership. We'll get to those in a minute, but how do you, as an organization, try to take this to political candidates, elected officials, and try to get them to commit to and adhere to ethical principles?
Well, we focus on two levels. First of all, there's a statewide level in our organization, and essentially at this level, we invite people to become members. Once they become members, they are receiving a monthly periodical called the Ethics Report. We give them examples of good ethical practice and some not so good practices in place. We award green lights or red flags for those practices, and we share with members information about ethical leadership in practice. And then at least once a year, we will poll our members, and we're going to try to determine their level of confidence in the leadership, the ethical leadership of our elected leaders. And there's a saying that actions drive beliefs. And so essentially, they're displaying their confidence based on the actions they're seeing or feeling from governmental leaders. Then the second level is at the local level. We're forming local chapters. Those chapters bring in speakers for politicians. They could be business leaders. We had an excellent presentation from Kathleen Culver on the ethics in journalism. All of those topics are designed to get the discussion going at the local level. And then at the local level, they're also responsible for holding a candidate development workshop. And that workshop is designed to help groom the next generation of candidates to be more willing and able to run for political office on an ethical leadership platform. So we're trying to operate at the state and local level, trying to reach out to next generation leaders in the process.
We're talking to Lee Rosh about the group Leader Ethics Wisconsin. He's the executive director. Lee, let's talk about some of the ethical standards you're looking for. The first one, ethical leaders should be truthful. Now, it can be there's truth, and then there's kind of a political spin that is fact-based but leaves some room for negotiation. How do you hold people to a standard of truthfulness when there's a lot of argument about which numbers, for example, might be right?
Well, all of these are standards that we're setting that are designed to inform our membership and the community at large so that they can make those judgments. It's right now there's a lot of smoke in the air in the whole political arena. But you can get information that is giving you a better indication on whether they tend to be truthful or whether they're tending to be evasive in their responses. So the idea of giving information to members, putting it out in our monthly ethics report to put this information on the agenda of our chapters is to get people thinking and looking more closely. It's particularly difficult because it's not just the words of the politician that you're judging. It's also all of the information that is coming out through social media and other sources. there's a lot of false information that is being just accepted and passed on. You know, the United States Senate report, Intelligence Committee report on the interference of Russia in the previous election. There's information that came in that report that said essentially the Internet Research Agency out of St. Petersburg, Russia, was really targeting on divisive issues and bringing issues that had both sides amped up. And then they were also bringing in information that tried to play on people's tendencies to bring about minority-based divisiveness. And there, in that two-year period, there were over 30 million shares and likes on Facebook and Instagram. And so the idea of getting at the truth is very challenging, but we want to help our members to be more conscious of that and make better judgments and not just like something and share it without thinking of the consequences.
It can be tough, though. I think a lot of people might think, okay, the politician on my side is generally telling the truth. The politicians on the other side are liars. How do you overcome the sense of partisan divide there?
Well, as a nonpartisan organization, we really try to emphasize that ethical leaders come in both parties. And you can have an ethical leadership position on this end of the spectrum on a policy issue or on the other end of the spectrum. It's a question of how you approach your leadership responsibility. So if you're someone who's seeking to be an ethical leader, you're going to attempt to be as honest and straightforward in how you bring forward information to your constituents. You're going to be as transparent as you can possibly be about public information. And in doing so, you'll be able to show that there's a real intent here to be a unifier and not a divider. You know, a lot of the false information is based on trying to vilify the other side. And then finally, they're going to look for opportunities to represent their entire constituency, not just the simple majority that voted for them. So those are the four concepts that we really emphasize, that they need to be looked at collectively if you're going to make some judgments about someone's commitment to be an ethical leader.
Do you think over time we've lost a sense of ethical leadership? Are our politicians worse than they used to be when it comes to ethics?
I think there's data that indicate that we have lost ground in that area. We have Pew Research did significant research in 2014, and they reinforced it last year on the growing divide between declared Democrats and Republicans. And the comparison between 1994 and 2004, actually the median between those two groups was pretty close. And since 2014, it's become much, much broader. And so the intent of trying to vilify the other side is a really complicating dynamic right now. The other aspect of this is that many people believe that it's okay to be divisive. And there's an interesting study done by the Bipartisan Policy Center that showed that there are a divided government isn't going to be a more effective government. And they have something called a Healthy Government Index, and they have eight criteria, things like full working schedule or getting the budget approved on time without having a shutdown and those kinds of indicators. And what they found is that as that divide grew during that time frame since 2004, there also was a significant drop off, a decline in the effectiveness indicators. Five of the eight areas went down, two stayed at the status quo, and one of them was a status quo. That's a budget approval on time without a shutdown. It was poor 10 years ago. And so a divided government isn't a more effective government. And so we have to help people to appreciate that if we're going to see any change in their willingness to accept, a willingness to listen to the other sides.
We're talking about ethics and politics and how to get more of it with Lee Rosch, director of the group Leader Ethics Wisconsin. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you think we live in a time in American politics where ethics in government are an endangered species? Should politicians represent all of their constituents, not just the ones who voted for them? What do you think is the best way to hold politicians accountable? When you vote, do you look past just a candidate's positions on issues? Do you weigh their ethical record as well? call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. We pick up our conversation with Lee Rosch, Executive Director of Leader Ethics Wisconsin, about how to promote more ethical behavior in our politicians and restore trust in government. You can join in at 800-642-1234. How important is ethics in our elected leaders to you? If you agree with the politician's stances, do you worry about how transparent and honest they are? How do you think we can hold leaders to higher ethical standards? And do you have questions about, for a guest about how this group is working? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll go to your calls. Brad is with us in Madison. Brad, hi.
Hi there. I don't see how we can have ethics in our government that is positive when over the last like 50 years, the big money has totally infiltrated our system. They've stacked the courts. They've gone in the Supreme Court and had these people who have created rights, powers for artificial entities like corporations. The Lewis Powell memo of 1971 has allowed the plan to be implemented to just infiltrate everything. The education system, government, the media, the money is taking control, and it's not just plutocracy, it is kleptocracy. It is ruled by the thieves.
Brad, thanks for the call. So, Lee, Brad's saying money has corrupted politics. It's going to be hard to fix ethics because of that.
Well, thanks for that observation, Brad. And you have to understand, we're not naive as an organization. This is going to take time in order to bring about a better conversation and expectation for ethical leadership. And it's why we work on trying to get that message to the next generation of political candidates. The people are going to be running for school board or county board. Those are the places to start to groom the change that we need to happen. But we also need to just call out by sharing information what we see if it's not following those four principles that we're talking about. Leader Ethics Wisconsin is not going to be the morality police for the political system. But we can give information to our members, and our members can share that with others, and we can start to change the expectation. The process is going to take time, and there's so many things that you pointed out, the money in the in the process right now, the slanted influence that media centralization is producing. All of those things are huge issues. But we first got to start with changing the expectation and changing the conversation and doing it at the local level.
Thanks for the call, Brad, at 800-642-1234. We'll go now to Owen with us in Wyawega. Owen, hello.
Yes, good afternoon, Rob. Yeah, so as a young beginning dairy farmer in the state of Wisconsin who doesn't have a lot of money to begin with, I see this firsthand, the disconnect in the severed head of our legislative branch of government that is completely devoid from being accountable or have any responsibility to the constituents who actually are paying their salaries. And we have to remember that politicians are our employees. They actually work to represent us. It used to be that they did. And now it seems that they go there to represent themselves and their own personal gains, and they have little to no interaction with the public, or when they do, they talk about what they've done, but they have absolutely no ability to give you a perspective on what they're going to do in the future because they don't want anybody to know how they're going to vote prior to making or casting a vote.
Owen, thanks for the call. Lee, your thoughts? Owen had a lot to say there.
There is a lot to cover there, but I will say that's one of the reasons why we really emphasize this idea of representing your entire constituency, not just a simple majority that voted for you. Because what can happen is you can have an elected leader who takes a position that it's my way or the highway. I'm going to cater to the 51% that I need to get elected or stay elected, and I can actually disregard the 49%, plus all of those people who are not eligible to vote, the children and others. And so we need to have people who are willing to actively listen to all their constituents. If they take those things seriously, you'll be able to recognize that they are going to be more likely to represent you as a citizen, or they're telling you it's my way or the highway.
Owen, thanks for the call. We're talking to Lee Rush from Leader Ethics Wisconsin. He's executive director. It's an effort to promote more ethical behavior among politicians and leaders here in Wisconsin. Still time for you to join in with your questions and your thoughts at 800-642-1234. Lee, Owen also mentioned the observation he sees a lot of people in politics working for themselves, not for their constituents, not thinking of themselves as servant leaders, I guess, a big thing going on in La Crosse right now, I know. Can you talk about that different attitude toward representation?
Well, you know, unfortunately, if you are in business or in healthcare or education or in the service sector, and you want to become an ethical leader, a servant leader, or if you're in a hiring position, if you want to hire an ethical leader, you've got a lot of resources available. All of those fields have those resources available for ethical leaders, except the political arena. And so what we really need to do is start to the process of getting a conversation going and getting people, average citizens, to expect ethical leadership. And if they don't see that, then they should write letters to the media. They should be certainly taking that into consideration when they vote. You don't have to vote if you don't feel you have good choices, but you should go to the ballot box because there are many other people and issues that warrant your attention as a citizen. And so those are the things that I think are going to help us start the process of change, and it's going to be daunting. There is no getting around that. Of all those conversations that we've held and in all the chapter events, no one said it would be easy. But the encouragement we got that there is some attempt to try to raise these issues and bring about these conversations has been very encouraging.
Let's bring on another caller now. AC is with us in Fitchburg. AC, hello.
Hey.
What'd you want to bring up?
Yeah, I thought, and this might just be me, but like, let's go back to the good old days. Why don't we have the person whom is representing be part of a civil service situation without the monetary, paycheck behind it and everything like that? I think, I hate to beat the dead horse here, but we're talking about, funds and money and how much money a politician can make. There's no term caps or anything like that. So I think more or less people get born into the situation or born into it. And us, the average citizen is very uneducated, I would say. The people that you want to vote are very uneducated as to what they're actually voting for when they do go to the voting ballot. And I think if a representative was doing their job as a civil service, it would make a world of difference, I imagine, just because, they're not looking out for their own personal gain. They're not looking out for their own pocketbook or their bank account. And what happens is you actually have a person who genuinely cares in the situation and in the process of making things actually better. There's no monetary good coming to them. There's no, reward for being that position. And then what that does in turn is you get a genuine sense of care is what I would think, and I imagine there's a larger group of people out there who understand, a certain set of guidelines. But at the same time, you have other people that just like believe that the person whom is making the decisions does not actually care.
AC, thanks for the call. Lee, AC, looking for kind of a different model of how politicians work, I guess.
Well, and it's doable if we can recognize and reward positively through our votes, through our encouragement, whenever we see that kind of behavior. And the fact is, we've had ethical leaders, political leaders in the past. We have some now. What's discouraging is we have some good people who are not running for office any longer because they're frustrated with the environment that they're in, and they're being replaced by people who are using a very divisive playbook, and so the process is not going in the right direction. It's frankly going in the wrong direction, and we need to try to turn that around.
Right. It seems like a potential vicious cycle. If people don't trust government and they don't trust their elected officials, and they worry, well, if I go into that, do I become corrupt as I see them? How do you get that younger generation back in the idea that they could run for office and they can do good while they're there?
Well, the change needs to happen in all generations, but obviously we really need to help the younger generation to take a very proactive role. It's very encouraging here at the University of Wisconsin-La Crosse, for example. There's a new student organization called Students for Ethical Leadership Within Government. They formed that. We have an affiliation agreement that we're working out with them, but that's an independent student organization, and it's the right place and the right time for those questions to be raised. If In fact, we have a speaker in Madison on the 19th of June, and Dave Scogan, and he was instrumental in bringing about the development and implementation of a curriculum in 22 schools in the La Crosse area called Character Lives, a course on building character with young people. So it's a daunting challenge, but you know, if we start with getting the conversation going and help to build on the encouragement that the next generation can have, there is no reason why we can't see some change.
In our last minute or so, Lee, when you started having these conversations and then started the group, do you have a feeling like there is hunger out there for more ethical leadership in the state?
Absolutely. There's a lot of encouragement for the things we're trying to do. You know, frankly, and there are good groups that have formed across the country. They're not focusing on ethical leadership, but they're focusing on civility and bipartisanship and other dimensions of these concerns. It's just important that they have someone that they feel is going to be doing the best they can to be a champion for those concerns.
We'll leave it there for now. Lee, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you, Rob.
That's Lee Rush, Executive Director of Leader Ethics Wisconsin. He joined us at our WPR studio in La Crosse. The group is holding an event on Thursday, June 6th in the La Crosse Public Library at 5:30 p.m. and on June 19th at the Middleton Public Library at 6:30. You can find out more about those events at leaderethics.org.